Praise the Lord. We have come to the study of the Synoptic Gospels, which is the Gospels of Matthew, Mark and Luke. And we started with the study of the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus has been depicted as a king. And in the previous lessons, we started with the history and the status of the king as he was born and about his youth. And then we looked into the king's anointing. And after his anointing, the king started his ministry. As he started his ministry, he gave the constitution for the kingdom. And after the king did that, we see that the king is continuing his ministry right away. We see that the king has authority over elements of nature, over the demons, over the powers of darkness, and he has the authority to forgive sin and heal sickness. And we understood that the way of the king is incompatible with the religion of that day. And in order to follow the king, it is essential for us to understand what the Lord wants in our life, in our talks, in our actions. In the previous lesson, which is lesson number 17, we saw the enlargement of the king's ministry. He spoke about the need for shepherding and the need for reaping the harvest. Because when he looked out, he saw that there is the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. And what the Lord Jesus has told us is that we should pray that the Lord will send out workers into the field. After doing that, the king selected out his workers, which we know as the 12 disciples, who became the 12 apostles as they were sent on a particular mission. And these were the 12 apostles. And before they were sent out, Jesus, the king, spoke to them and gave them some clear instructions about what they should do. They were not supposed to go to any other people, but to the house of Israel, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And Jesus explained to them that you bless those who will receive you, but then for those who would reject the words that you speak, the Lord said that they would be coming under judgment. So, as the king was explaining to the disciples about what they should expect, we start here in lesson number 18. And in chapter 10, Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 to 33, Jesus, the king, is explaining to the disciples or the apostles that when they go out with the word of God, they should expect persecution. It is not going to be a gospel that is going to be widely accepted by the people. They should expect persecution, but then Jesus the King explained how you should meet the persecution when they come in your life. And there has been some specific instructions and words of encouragement that the King is giving to the disciples about how we have to encounter persecution for following the kingly way. And thereafter, the king also explained from verses 10 to 39, chapter 10, verses 34 to 39, about what is going to happen even within your family when you are bringing the gospel of the kingdom. The persecution may be from outside, but it may also come in from inside your family. And this is what is going to affect. It's going to create a lot of ripples in the pond of religion when you bring about the gospel of the Lord Jesus, which is very much different from what the people believe and understand. There is going to be a lot of opposition that the disciples are going to encounter. And Jesus explained that this is like taking your cross to follow after him. And finally, verse number 40 of chapter 10, and the rest of the chapter, the king identifies himself with the ones who are sent, and said that those who would receive you would receive me. If they reward you, it's as if they are rewarding me. So we see that the king, in sending them with a mission, is giving them clear instructions so that there should be no doubt in their mind, as when they come across all these different elements of opposition, they should endure it and they should rejoice over it, because they are counted worthy to receive the persecution on behalf of the Lord. With this context, we are going to start this lesson, which is lesson number 18, and we will start reading from Matthew chapter 10 verses 16 onwards. Matthew chapter 10 verse 16. And here the Jesus is continuing to speak to his 12 disciples, or the 12 apostles, and this is what he says: "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." In other translation it says, "Be prudent as serpents and guileless as doves. I am sending you forth as sheep in the midst of the wolves." As sheep in the midst of the wolves, the Lord's apostles, although they are not serpents, but they need to be prudent or wise as serpents in order to escape being hurt by the wolves. And at the same time, they should be harmless, or they should be without guile as doves, and not mix themselves with any evil intentions and not be a part in hurting other people. So the Lord Jesus, when he's sending us into this mission, it is like sending sheep in the midst of wolves. On a natural way, we know that wolves are a ferocious animal that tends to bite other animals and kill them. And sheep doesn't harm anyone. The sheep is the one who minds his own business and does it. But when you are sent among the wolves, you are on dangerous waters, and you have to be very wise, or you have to be very prudent when you are among the people, so that you escape from being hurt. So that is what the Lord says. And verse number 17, Jesus continues saying that, "And beware of men, for they will deliver you up to Sanhedrins, and in their synagogues they will scourge you, and you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them and to the Gentiles." So very clearly the king is explaining to his disciples that there will be people who will oppose your doctrine. This is a radical doctrine, and you are going to be facing a lot of opposition. And they're going to do, they're not going to be sitting quiet, but they will capture you and they will bring you before the council, the Jewish council or the Sanhedrins, and they will bring you to the synagogues, which is their church, and before their secular judgment council, they will bring them and they will deliver you there. And you will be even brought before princes, governors and kings, to the greatest administrative authority of the land. You will be brought as criminals, and it says, for a testimony to them and the Gentiles, that you would be a testimony, you would be a witness. And that is the reason that you will be brought forth before these people. It says, and when they deliver you, which is that they are going to deliver you, when you go with the gospel of peace, the gospel of the kingdom of God, They are going to deliver you. They will deliver you before the religious councils. They will deliver you between the religious groups, which is the synagogues. They will even deliver you to the administrative figureheads, the princes, the kings, and the governors, for as a testimony for the sake of Christ. But when they deliver you, do not be anxious about what you should speak, for it shall be given to you in that hour what you should speak. Because you are not the one who is speaking, but the Spirit of your Father is the one who is speaking to you. What the Lord will help is not to keep His disciples from being caught, captured, and delivered to the people. The point where the Lord's assistance will be to His disciples is when you are delivered before kings and princes and before the religious council and before the religious churches, when they bring you and they condemn you and they say that you have spoken things that should not have been spoken. The way the Lord will empower you is that the Holy Spirit will give you words to speak, which will not be your own words. It says that don't be anxious about what you are going to answer to them, because the Holy Spirit will give you at that very hour what you will speak, because you are not the one speaking, but it is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of your Father, is the one who is speaking to you. What we understand here is that when we come to the beginning of the chapter, verse number 1 of chapter 10, the apostles had the authority of the heavenly king. He gave them authority, it says. But not really the authority, but he also gave them the Spirit of the Father. And the king's authority, it deals with the unclean spirits and diseases. The Father's authority deals with the persecution of the oppressors. It deals with giving them the words to speak and the words to confront the captors who brings them before the executive body of those days. Verse number 21, and brother will deliver a brother to death, the father his child, and children will rise up against their parents and put them to death. The people who are going to hate you are not only the people outside, but even there will be people inside your own family. Your brother, your father, your husband, your children, they will rise up against you because of the opposition to the radical doctrine, the radical message that you are going to bring them. And that is what the Christ says. So, those who would be the heavenly king's apostles for the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, not only they would suffer persecution outside, from the people outside who are not willing to hear this gospel, but even from inside, and they would even be breaking the closest human ties that they have, the ties of a father, a child, a brother. All these ties they would be breaking up. Verse number 22, and you will be hated by all because of my name, but he who has endured to the end, this one shall be saved. It's very clear. The Lord says, you will be hated by all because of my name. Because of my sake, you will be hated by one and all. But he who endures to the end, he who is steadfast, he who holds fast to the word of the Lord, it says that this one will be saved. Now, here to be saved means to be saved from those who hate us. Eventually, it will mean to be saved into the manifestation of the kingdom of the heavens, which is a reward to the overcoming believers. We need to understand one thing. This is very different from the eternal salvation that is mentioned in Ephesians chapter 2 verse number 8. And let me read it here. Ephesians 2 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. This saved or salvation is the eternal salvation that Christ is giving to those who accept Him in your life, who believe in the Lord Jesus. That is not what this saved means. You will be saved means you will be saved from those who hate you, from your captors. And if you endure to the end, you will be saved from all the persecutions that is coming in your life. Verse number 23, and when they persecute you in the city, flee into another. For I say to you, you shall by no means finish the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes. This word was not fulfilled by the 12 apostles preaching before the crucifixion of Christ. It will not be fulfilled until the great tribulation, which we see in Matthew 24:21. The prediction that we see that Jesus makes here in verses 17 to 23 is very similar to what He made in Matthew 24 verses 9 to 13. Here the heavenly King sent the apostles to preach the gospel of the kingdom only to the Jews. After His resurrection, Jesus sent His apostles to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. After the fullness of the salvation of the Gentiles, He will send His apostles to preach the gospel of the kingdom again to the Jews. At that time, this word will be fulfilled and He will come. It's a prophetical word about Jesus saying that every city of Israel will be finished until the Son of Man comes, which speaks about His coming again. Verse number 24. A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above his master. If you study the context of how He speaks about this particular verse, according to the context, the word here means in suffering, persecution, His apostles cannot be above the Lord Jesus Christ, because we know that the Lord Jesus was persecuted to the uttermost. He was crucified and He died on the cross of Calvary for us. Verse number 25, it is sufficient for the disciple that he become like his teacher and the slave like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more those of his household. There is something very much that we need to understand about this passage. Beelzebul. You know, Beelzebub means the Lord of the flies. This was the name of the Lord of the Ekronites. We see an evidence in 2 Kings chapter 1 verse number 2. We see the word called Beelzebub, which is the actual name out of which this word has derived from. Beelzebub was the god of the people of Ekron. And we see that in 2 Kings 1 verse 2. But it was changed continuously by the Jews to Beelzebul, which means the Lord of the dunghill. And it was used as the ruler of the demons. We see a lot of usage of this particular word, Beelzebul, in Matthew 12:24, 12:27, Mark 3:22, Luke 11:15, and Luke 11:18 and 19. In Matthew 9:34, we see the Pharisees, the leading ones of the Jewish religion, reviled the heavenly King by saying that He had cast out demons by the ruler of the demons. In using this most blasphemous name, they express their strongest objection to the gospel that was brought by Jesus, and they rejected him. That was the way, the beginning of the rejection. And it is sad that they would address Jesus as the ruler of the demons. And that is why Jesus says that if they have called the master of the house as the ruler of demons, how much more what all names would they be calling his household, his children? So Jesus was giving them a caution about expecting to be called by different names by the people who are not accepting the word of the gospel. Verse 26, therefore do not fear them, for there is nothing covered which will not be revealed, and hidden which will not be made known. What I say to you in darkness, speak in the light. What you hear in the ear, proclaim in the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. The king gives them a strong assurance that do not fear these people, because one day everything is going to be made known. There is nothing, no secrets that shall not be revealed. And the disciples, you have heard in the darkness, you speak out to people, proclaim it in the housetops. Do not fear those who can destroy your body, but you should fear the one who is able to destroy both body and soul. Who can destroy both the body and soul? It's only God who can destroy both man's soul and man's body in Gehenna. So, this word just implies that the disciples should rather, they should only fear God. And once you fear God, you will not be feared, you will not fear any other person. What can man do to me? As the psalmist says, there is no need to be fearful of man, but the only person that we need to fear is our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to fear God and Him alone, and serve Him out of reverence. And we know that the reward, that we all would be getting a reward one day. Everyone, whether a child of God or not, we are all going to get a reward. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10 says that, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether good or bad. We are all will be standing before God's judgment seat, and we will all get a reward. We also read in Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 12 like this. Jesus is testifying to the churches. He says like this, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. So the Lord is coming quickly to reward everyone according to the work that you are doing. And we have to fear Him. And when we fear Him, we will obey His commandments. And the way to obey His commandments is to be a witness of the gospel of the kingdom of the heavens to the people outside. And that is what we should do. Verse number 29 says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And not one of them will fall to the earth apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. The word that is used as a price for two sparrows is also called a Nasarion. It is an ancient Roman coin equivalent to 1/16th of a denarius, which is a very, very small amount of money. And the Lord Jesus is giving them the assurance that even the two sparrows that are sold for such a meager amount of money, not even one of the sparrow will fall to the earth dead apart from the will of the Father. And even the hairs of your head are all numbered. The Lord knows even the number of hairs of our head. He knows the minute details concerning our life. Verse number 31. Therefore, because the Lord is able to sustain and help you through these troubles, the Lord will give you the words to speak. And the Lord knows even the intimate details about you. He knows you so well. Therefore, do not fear. You are more valued than many sparrows. So the Lord is giving a strong sense of assurance and hope that do not fear these people. Even the Lord knows the small sparrow, which is on a money value, it is very cheap. But one of those sparrows do not fall down without the knowledge of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head, which are countless, they are all numbered by God. And if God knows the number of the hairs of your head, how much more will He not be concerned about you? He knows you very well. He knows you intimately. So do not fear. Do not be afraid. Verse number 32 says, everyone who confesses in me before men, I will also confess in him before my Father who is in the heavens. If you are sticking true to God, if you are keeping your union with the Lord will also continue to keep His union with you, and He will also stick with you. If you confess in Him, He will also confess in you before the Father. Verse number 33 says, But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in the heavens. The word spoken by the heavenly kings to His apostles, who were sent by Him to preach the gospel of the kingdom, is that He foretold that they would be persecuted. That we see in verse number 17, 21 to 23. If anyone under persecution, they denied the Lord Jesus, Jesus says that He will deny him at His coming back. So their being denied or confessed by Him at that time will determine whether His apostles are worthy to enter the kingdom of heaven as a reward in the coming age. So, if we confess in Him, He will confess in us. If we deny Him, He will also deny us before the Father and when He comes back from the heavens. The next section from verse number 34 to 39, the Lord Jesus is explaining in more details about the disturbance or the friction that is going to be caused when you go with the gospel. Very clear terms. There should be no doubt in anyone's mind that if you are truly taking the gospel to outside, there's going to be a lot of disturbance. But what we need to do, and the way of the cross, that is what is explained in the coming section from verse 34 to 39. Verse 34, it says, do not think I've come to bring peace on the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. The whole earth is under the dominion of Satan. 1 John chapter 5 and verses 19 says like this. 1 John chapter 5 verses 19. We know that we are the sons of God, we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. So this world is under the dominion of Satan. And in that particular case, when the world is under the dominion of Satan, what happens? When we bring the message of the heavenly king, this will bring the opposition of Satan. And when that happens, Satan will instigate people to fight against the heavenly king's apostles or the called ones. So that is why Jesus implied that when you bring the gospel, you are not bringing in a way peace on the earth, but you are bringing a sword, because there will be a lot of commotion that you will be encountering. Verse number 35 and 36, "For I have come to set men at variance, a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household." So this fighting that has been instigated by Satan, who is having the dominion of this world, against the heavenly kings, children or called ones or apostles, is waged even within the own household. The heavenly called ones will be attacked in the homes by their own people, by their own kindred, who remains under the evil one's influence. And we understand that you will be facing enemies even from within and without, within your own family and from outside. Verse number 37. "He who loves father or mother above me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter above me is not worthy of me." Our love for the Lord must be more than our love for our kindred. We should love nothing or nobody above the Lord Jesus. He is the one who is worthy of our love, and we must be worthy of Him. Verse number 38 says, "He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Let us understand this. What is meant by taking his cross? Does it mean that we have to carry a cross like Christ carried and God hung on that cross? What does a cross mean that we have to carry? When we understand about the cross of Christ on a figurative sense, Christ took his Father's will and he was crucified. When he was baptized, he was counted as crucified, and from that time he bore his cross to do the will of God. His called ones were identified with him. He asked them to take their cross and follow after him, that is to take the will of God by putting themselves aside, putting their own interests aside, take the will of God as a paramount need, as a paramount direction path. And this taking of the will of God must be done at any cost. They should first give their love to the Lord, so that they would be worthy of the Lord. Verse number 39, "He who finds his soul life shall lose it, and he who loses his soul life for my sake shall find it." To find the soul life is to allow the soul to have its enjoyment and to escape suffering. To lose the soul life is to cause the soul to lose its enjoyment and therefore to suffer. If the heavenly king's followers allow their soul to have its enjoyment in this age, they will cause their soul to suffer loss of the enjoyment in the coming kingdom age. If they allow their soul to suffer the loss of the enjoyment in this age, for the king's sake, they will enable the soul to have the enjoyment in the coming kingdom's age and share the king's joy in ruling over the earth. Chapter 25, verses 21 and 23. So he who is taking priority over his own life here will lose it, but he who loses for the sake of the gospel will find it. Verse number 40, "He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." The apostles were sent by the heavenly king, having been entrusted by this authority, which we see in verse number 1, entrusted with the peace, which is in verse number 13, and having been indwelt with the Spirit of the Father and identified with the King in his suffering, verse number 22, verse number 24, and verse number 25, and also identified with the King in his death, verse number 21, verse number 34 to 39, and so they were one with him. So thus he who received the followers would be receiving, in fact, Christ himself. To participate in such an identification with the heavenly King it requires us to love him above everything, above at any cost, and to follow him by taking the narrow way of the cross, which is revealed to us, which is loving him at any cost, loving him more than our dear ones, and following him at any cost, not counting the world as worthy in our lives. Finally, verse number 41, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. So, this is very clear that the one who receives a prophet is joined to the prophet's word, and the one who receives a righteous man is joined to the righteousness of the righteous man. Thus, these two will receive the reward of a prophet and a righteous man, respectively. Who is a prophet? A prophet is the one who speaks for God and on behalf of God. A righteous man is the one who seeks after righteousness, who practices righteousness, and who is persecuted for the sake of righteousness for the kingdom. The heavenly king was such. He was a prophet who was sent by God. Jesus Christ was a prophet who was sent by God. We see a prophecy of that in the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 18 and verse number 15, where Moses, in speaking to the children of Israel, is reiterating that in verse number 15, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear. So it speaks about Jesus as being a prophet who will be heard by everyone else. Also, Jesus is depicted as a righteous man. Acts chapter 3 and verse number 14. Acts chapter 3, verse number 14, where Peter, speaking about Jesus, says to the people, "But you have denied the Holy One and the Just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you." So Jesus was a righteous, he was a just person, he was a Holy One. And so when they receive a righteous person, it is as though they are receiving, when they are receiving a prophet, as though they are receiving Jesus the prophet. If they are receiving a righteous man, it is as though they are receiving Jesus the righteous. So his apostles sent by him were identified with him, and thus also were the prophet and the righteous man. So whoever received them will receive him and will receive a reward. Finally, verse number 42, and whoever gives to one of these little ones only a cup of cold water to drink in the name of a disciple, truly I say to you, he shall by no means lose a reward. What is this reward that we are hearing here? This reward is going to be given in the coming kingdom age. Luke 14 and verse number 12 to 14 speaks like this. This is Jesus speaking to the people and says, and he also said to those who invited him, when you give a dinner or supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they invite you back and you will be repaid. But when you give out a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, and you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. This is the reward that we hear from God. This is the reward that that we will receive at the resurrection of the just. That is in the coming kingdom age. Finally, chapter 11, verse number 1. And when Jesus has finished giving instruction to his 12 disciples, he departed from there to teach and preach in the cities. So Jesus completed his task of enlightening his disciples and his apostles what they should expect when they go out with the gospel. There was nothing that he hid from them. He explained to them very clearly that they would be persecuted, they would be captured, they would be imprisoned, they would be brought before kings and authority, before the church rulers, and it's all for the sake of Christ. In fact, even they would be facing opposition within their own house, within their own family, but they need to take up their own cross and follow after them. What is the cross that we see here? It is to do the will of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first to do the will of God. And when we do that, there is great reward that we need to will be expecting in our life. And Jesus departed to teach and to preach, and this is what he continued to do. And my prayer is that in our earthly life we give importance to doing the will of God more than anything else, and be a witness and a testimony to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that the Lord may strengthen you with this word. So this concludes chapter 18 of our lesson of the Synoptic Gospels. And next lesson, chapter 19, we will continue with the king's ministry, and we will see his the way he reacted to in every situation. So we are going to learn some many valuable lessons about the way Jesus continued and he did his ministry. May the Lord bless you abundantly with this word.